Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Taking you up to 6:30 on a victory Monday. Grant and Danny on the Fan. The sponsor of our shows, the law firm Condori and Murad. They're our guys. That's why we're going to Cincinnati with them to watch the Commanders and the Bengals on Monday Night Football. They are sponsoring a show field trip. We're fired up about it. They don't just want to help us, though. They want to help you, too. They want to help you and your family find the right direction and draft a will, set up a trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. You can get a discount. kmlawyers.com. As promised, 10th caller right now at 800-636-1067. Congrats. You're winning two tickets to HF Festival this Saturday, September 21 in Nats Park, featuring the Postal Service, Death Cab for Cutie, Incubus, Bush, Garbage, Jimmy Eat World, so much more. It's going to be a great day, a great show at the ballpark. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events, courtesy of IMP. We'll be giving these tickets away all week long right here on Grant and Danny at 4 o'clock. It is time for your Blitz. We'll cover the NFL and the Commanders coming up, but let's start on the diamond. How about James Wood yesterday? While you were watching football, he was going deep, not once, but twice, his first ever two-homer game. Our Nats beat reporter is Craig Heist, who was at the park. Heisty, how about that James Wood performance?
Well, it was incredible. And, you know, he had slumped off a little bit, Grant, but, you know, he went back to doing what he does so well, and that's hit the ball the opposite way. And those two home runs into that red porch area out there in left center field, he gets a lot of elevation on his fly balls, and he hits the ball hard. And Skip Schumacher, the manager of the Marlins afterwards, just talked about those two home runs and said just what a superstar this kid's going to be. And ever since he's got up here, he's done really nothing to disappoint anybody. I think his defense is getting a little bit better in left field, too.
I see. Important start from Mackenzie Gore. Looked to have turned a corner, really, you know, end of August, start of September, kind of a clunky start against Atlanta and a bad loss for the team. So, listen, this isn't the 27 Yankees that he's going through talking about the Marlins, but still shoved it on them. I thought that was a big deal.
Well, and a big deal specifically, Danny, after having a 31-pitch first inning yesterday, and then he winds up giving up the unearned run on the error in the third. But he settled in and went six strong and gave Davey Martinez exactly what he needs to. And he's going to be a big part of this going forward, as all of those young pitchers are.
Craig Heist, our Nats beat reporter, 106.7 The Fan. What questions do you want answered? What are you locking in on down the stretch for the Nationals, just a few weeks to play here?
Well, they're three games or three wins away from having a better record than they did last year. So that's one thing. The second thing is, you know, once they got out of the camp, the Marlins series yesterday. The rest of the way, the last 2 weeks of the season, they're going to be playing teams that are really playing for something. And it'll be interesting to see how they do against these teams, because they won the season series against the Braves. They absolutely clobbered the Marlins this year. But now they go up against the Mets the next three nights at Citi Field. And the Mets have pretty much had their number, so we'll see what happens there. And then also the Phillies come here the final weekend of the season. So, again, some good baseball to be played between now and the end and against good teams. And we'll see how they handle it.
Hi, Steve. Thank you, buddy. Have a great week.
You got it.
We will see you, my friend. Hit that NFL sounder. BetQL's Nick Ashew, also our dreamboat, our local handsome man who smells terrific, great hair, and he makes eye contact, and you melt a little bit inside when he does. Biggest surprise for you through week number two is?
The New England Patriots. They look like a capable football team. I'm not going to say they're going to go out there and win 7-8 games this year. I don't think that's going to happen. But we spent a lot of time, myself included, kind of making fun of them, looking at that roster. Now, granted, they can't really throw the football at all. It's going to be a lot of running, and it's going to be a lot of defense from them. But, I mean, the fact that they beat the Bengals week one, the Bengals looked like a much better team, at least against the Chiefs yesterday. And then on top of that, you're sitting there and looking at them going to overtime against Seattle. I mean, they look like an actual football team that's going to play hard for their coach and, I don't know, be relatively respectable. I know that's maybe not the highest bar, but, man, the narrative around the Patriots before this year was, hey, they might win two games. And I guess they still could, but they're going to play damn hard in the process.
Yeah, I've been impressed by that defense especially and their first-year head coach, who I think I was wrong about. And it just seemed like he didn't know what he was doing in the preseason. But so far, so good. I'll be curious to see, too, if they hang the way they have when they turn things over to Drake May, who's their best quarterback in the building. He admitted that May outplayed Brissett. You know, it's one thing if you're just worried about his development, but at some point, if you feel like a couple more plays per game can get you these wins, you know, if they could stick to their guns there. I'm really interested in this 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday between the Chargers and the Steelers. It's like Jim Harbaugh just finds ways, man. He's already 2-0. If they can knock off Pittsburgh on the road, they'd be off to a 3-0 start in the West. The Steelers, with Justin Fields accidentally starting, have won both of their games as well. One of those teams is going to be undefeated going into week four.
Yeah, and it just shows you, first off, the Steelers playing the division, I think we knew that was going to be chaotic and a little bit unpredictable to start, and here they are. It's once again Mike Tomlin getting the most out of his team with question marks at quarterback through the first two games of the year. But, yeah, that's the thing, man. Like, Jim Harbaugh, everywhere he goes, he wins, and he gets the most out of teams pretty much right away. And it's really remarkable how quickly he can change the culture within a building, whether it's the college or the NFL level. And for all the narratives about, you know, college coaches not being able to coach in the NFL, Harbaugh goes to both levels back and forth and has success in both of those spots. I mean, I know Justin Herbert, they had to check out an injury, and it looks like he's going to be okay, so they're not really worried about anything and more with that. But, you know, I'd expect both these teams to run the hell out of the football. I mean, let's be real here. J.K. Dobbins is in the perfect spot with the Chargers now. Jim Harbaugh is going to run him like he ran Blake Corum at Michigan. He's going to get a ton of carries, and he's somebody that's going to put up probably those numbers every single week. Had he not gotten hurt in Baltimore, probably would have seen something similar, even though the Ravens obviously like to rotate through running backs a little bit more. But it just feels like he's a perfect fit with the Chargers, and Jim Harbaugh's turned that thing around real quick. Then again, the bar is pretty low considering what we saw from the end of the Brandon Staley era with the Chargers too, where everybody just gave up and everybody was hurt and they kind of gave up on the season completely. So, you know, I'd say that wasn't too hard to at least make them respectable too.
Nicholas, you mentioned the Ravens. I was pretty bullish on them, and nothing changed for me after week one, where they're, you know, a shoe size away from tying the game later, maybe taking the lead and winning in Kansas City. Still felt very good about them. That's an ugly loss in week number two that I don't usually associate with the Ravens. Should I reevaluate my view on Baltimore being that division champion?
I think you and I both have to, because I still like the Ravens coming in this year too. And a lot of it to me was respect for that organization and their ability to find the next guy up, right? I know it's kind of a cliche, but you know, they had a lot of turnover on both sides of the football, but three new starters on the offensive line, it's been a problem. We've seen, I mean, obviously not as much running for Lamar Jackson week two as we got week one. But, you know, defensively, there's still question marks there, too, with some new faces there. And, you know, I was doing my show Sunday from National Harbor. And, you know, I was doing it with B.J. Glasser, who's a diehard Ravens fan. And he told me, he said, do not take the Ravens in this. And I said, this is a bounce back spot for the Ravens. I was wrong. I think we all may have to reevaluate what's going on in Baltimore right now, because we expect year after year for that team to be in contention, even when they have injuries. We're still looking at them as a playoff team. It does not feel that way right now.
Nicholas, speaking of surprise teams, the only team in the NFC North that has won both of its games is the Minnesota Vikings, with Sam Darnold at quarterback. He was excellent in week one. Week two highlighted by a 97-yard touchdown pass to Justin Jefferson. But Brian Flores has been dynamic on the back end. They really turned it around last year defensively under Flores. And Darnold's played awesome. They're 2-0. Kevin O'Connell, front runner for Coach of the Year.
And I think that's the key right there, is Kevin O'Connell and him being able to get the most out of quarterbacks. I mean, we saw when Kirk Cousins went down last year, and how, I mean, he maximized the talent of every single quarterback that filled in for Cousins. And Sam Darnold is in a perfect spot to succeed, whether that's just this season or it's maybe longer than expected. Kevin O'Connell has proven that he can get the most out of quarterbacks. We're getting that, but you're right. Brian Flores on the other side. Guy loves to blitz. He makes life hell for the opposing quarterbacks. And this Vikings team is a good team, but you're right. It does also help to have, you know, Justin Jefferson out there at wide receiver, too.
Thanks, Nick. You're handsome.
I love you guys.
See you, buddy. I love you in that way. Bye. Also, hit that Local 53 sounder. Our guy Nick Akridge, PFF, joins us to break down Washington. What'd you make, big picture, Nick, of that win at home? No touchdowns, but they got a W.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mixed bag, both offensive and defensively. I mean, I think, obviously, they moved the ball well. I love the run game. I thought that was really, really effective, and it's kind of a complete flip on what we saw last year. You know, screens aren't my favorite thing in the world, but there's a lot of screens there. But, Cliff had a plan. It kind of opened up some stuff, you know, later on in the game. And I think in the second half we saw the sort of more intermediate passing game kind of showed up. And, you know, and then on the defensive side, you got, again, a bit of a mixed bag. I mean, I think coverage-wise they were much better. Defensively it was a bit better. You know, there were still some kind of, you know, run-fit errors and some missed tackles. But overall, a step in the right direction.
As far as your guys grading and or just your eyes, who did you think shined yesterday? Give us some names of some players you really liked.
Bobby Wagner was the big one. Kind of seemed like he was, you know, back to old school Bobby Wagner there, with, you know, making a bunch of tackles, kind of right at or around the line of scrimmage, beating a ton of blocks, just never being in the wrong position. He was a big one there. Noah Brown, obviously, in kind of a limited role, stepped up, only 20 snaps, but, you know, still came away with a 73.3 overall grade, which actually led the offense. So, those are kind of the two big ones. And then obviously Brian Robinson kind of came in, you know, a lot of rushing yards, you know, maybe not as many missed tackles, which is kind of why the grade is a little bit lower than usual. But, still great, great game all around from him.
Nick, I'm a parent. And when you get that first letter home from the teacher about, like, your kid misbehaving in class, or maybe they're falling behind with long division or something like that, that's when you're concerned. That letter was sent home like 7 months ago about the secondary. Like, we're past concern. I'm now resigned that they're not going to be able to stop anybody at any point in time. Is my assessment correct there, or is there a fix coming?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat with you there. There's only so much you can do, and sometimes you just don't have the dudes. Sometimes you just don't have the people there that can, really step up and make the plays. And there's just kind of – there's too many communication errors still. That's kind of been a problem with Washington secondary for the past, 4 or 5 years now. And that kind of still seems to happen. Anytime there's sort of a bunch formation, there's some sort of motion going on, they just kind of lose track of who's responsible for who, and saw that on that touchdown there closer to the end. But, yeah, sometimes you just don't really have the guys. I mean, I think St. Jude's probably played his best game in a very long time, but there were still some issues there. And, yeah, I think it's going to be rough. I think it's going to be rough all year. But I think if you can kind of, you know, tone down with some of just the mental errors that has nothing to do with your ability, then I think you can see just a bit of an uptick.
Where would PFF have a guy like Terry McLaurin coming into this season? There was a time where the consensus on him was, you know, he's a top 20 wide receiver in football. It's a slow start again for him this year, but I can't help but think when I'm watching other games, like I know Jefferson and Hill and Chase and Lamb and Brown, those guys are in a league of their own, right? But then even that next tier down with guys like Garrett Wilson, Nico Collins, or Amari Cooper or something, that was kind of the tier he's been in around 15th. But now with Marvin Harrison, like, he can't do what Malik Nabers did yesterday, or a Waddle, or maybe even like a Chris Olave. These are all guys I'd have over him. Where are we at on Terry?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, you know, especially for our grades. A lot of it is dependent on quarterback play, and a lot of, you know, wide receiver production is obviously dependent on quarterback play, and we all know he hasn't had great quarterback play in the past, and, you know, multiple offenses for him. And again, these are a lot of excuses, and I kind of, you know, am in the same boat with, you know, recently it has started to tick down a little bit, but, you know, if you're watching the film, like, he's getting open. Like, there were a couple shots, not only in the week one, but in this past week that they just didn't hit for whatever reason, but he's open. I mean, I think there is a chance for an uptick in production. I just, you know, it's tough with a rookie quarterback kind of coming in, brand new offense again. And, you know, even with Cliff's kind of style of offense, it's going to be low, you know, kind of air yards. And yeah, I think it's just kind of going to be a tough offense for him to sort of fit in. But I think if you can maximize those deep shots, he's open and you just got to get it to him.
So Nick, I'm just a football fan. I like watching the game on television like everybody else. I try to read as much as I can from smart people like you and to sort of figure out what it is that I'm seeing to quantify it. But help us and our listeners understand, what was the difference there in that second half in terms of the passing game, right? Where all of a sudden stuff was kind of open, that in-breaker to Noah Brown for a big chunk on that final drive. But some couple things kind of in between the hash marks that didn't look like it was either there or being looked for or otherwise in through the first six quarters of the season. What was different in that second half for the passing game?
Yeah, it was a bit of, you know, Jane being more decisive and being kind of quicker with where he wanted to go with the ball. And it was also a bit of, you know, Cliff's game plan in the first half opening up stuff in the second half. You know, a lot of those RPO game stuff is, you know, essentially there to kind of set up stuff later on. And that's how you got, you know, that seam route up the middle that got called back because of a downfield, ineligible downfield. And you get other things that kind of open up because of that and because of the run game they had. So the first half stuff, although, you know, it was not great, it did set up the second half stuff. And even in the first half, there were some plays that Jaden just kind of missed and either took off to run or got sacked, but there were definitely plays there. And I think it just kind of came down to just a quicker decision from the quarterback.
Much appreciate the time as always, Nick. Thank you, buddy.
Yep. You guys have a good one.
You too, buddy.
Got it. PFF.com is where you can find his work. Let's get into the defense next. We've talked a lot about the offense. What is going on with his defense? And why is it playing as poorly as it has through two games? Do you think there's a fix coming? What is going to be different in the near future? Because this was the Daniel Jones-led Giants. Mm-hmm. Next week, it's Burrow and the Bengals. You got the 130-yard, two touchdowns in one quarter tandem of Marvin Harrison Jr. and Kyler Murray after that. They got to get right. They got to get right quick. And they're doing it now down the depth chart, going to their third boundary corner to start outside opposite Juiced. You're listening to G&D.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's a nice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
.800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. This defense has really scuffled through a couple of games. Yesterday, the personnel you're going against gave you a shot to get right. And though Washington was better in the second half, the first half was still problematic. In fact, 11 drives into the season going into the second half yesterday, 9 scoring drives against Washington's defense and 6 touchdowns. Ultimately, thanks to only 22 minutes time of possession and only 51 plays, that's about as low a play count as you're going to see.
Yep.
Because Washington ran 70 plays, possessed the football, drove the ball all day long, into the red zone 6 times, got their 7 field goals. They kept the defense off the field, but yet still defensively, here were the results of drives. 7 plays, 53 yards, touchdown. 5 plays, 31 yards, punt. 10 plays, 70 yards, touchdown. So 2 out of 3 to start the game. Then the Giants came out from the half and were moving immediately. 4 plays, 40 yards on Washington's side of the field. They pick up another first down, and that's when St. Juste had the big peanut punch.
Mm-hmm.
Danny, that was the game changer. Then they forced a fumble. So on 2 drives, 7 plays in the third quarter, even though the Giants averaged almost 6 yards a play, they went 3 and out and turned the ball over. That quarter saved Washington's bacon.
Yeah, they're right back at the bottom of the league in terms of yards per play. You look at the passing yards allowed, passing yards per play, passing yards per drop back, any metric that you want, Washington is where it has been. And what was especially concerning to me this past week, or really yesterday, was how good New York was at running the ball against them. Because last year, it was like, it wasn't if Washington was good in that department. I think it was 4.5 yards per carry. They were ranked kind of in the teens in terms of rush attempts. But every rush attempt against them was a favor. They were so bad against the pass that anytime a team didn't call a pass, I'm quietly pumping my fist, knowing that it's not going to go for double-digit yards, it seems. Again, when you drop back against Washington, you were the MVP of the league. That's how bad it was last year, and they're well on their way to that same pace again. They're only saved, frankly, by the fact that New York was so good at running the ball against him
yesterday.
You
know what's just inexcusable? If I get beat by Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, I can get in line with a lot of other teams that are going to have that problem.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Godwin ate the Lions' lunch yesterday. The Bucs actually beat the Lions, by the way, 20-16. Evans was much more quiet. Mayfield was just okay, but they won that game. The Giants lining up and bullying me with Devin Singletary after he did almost nothing against the Vikings 1 week earlier just does not sit right. You know how limited they are. It's neighbors and pray for rain, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the weaponry. That guy went for 10 and a buck 27 and a touchdown. And you know it's Singletary and nothing else. They gave one other carry to anyone else on the team. No jet action, no end arounds, no gadget stuff, nothing wide. They gave Tracy one carry. It was just Singletary downhill, and it wasn't that unique. There was nothing overly interesting about how they were doing it. It was just a dive straight ahead, 16 for 95 and a touchdown.
Yeah, what a lot of mystery to it. And I don't know, man. It's one of those things where it's so complicated. There's so many moving parts. I don't know what everyone was asked to do on a given play. I don't know what the scheme is or what the design is or, you know, what the goal was or what they were calling based on what they thought New York would call or tendencies that Witt and company observed with Daboll and if they were going against type and doing something really smart. I mean, there's a million and one things that I'll never have access to or understand. I know this, and this is my point always when we talk about the league or talk about what my team is doing versus the rest of the league, what's happening everywhere else. And everywhere else, it's going a lot better than it is here. It's them and the Rams basically at the bottom after the Rams got shellacked yesterday by Arizona. Such a dreadful performance. I don't think the Rams' defense is particularly good, but they won't end up being that bad over the course. We've got a sample now where Washington's defense might be that bad over now, you know, a season plus.
Yeah,
so that's what's frustrating.
At the risk of like pushing back too hard, I think it's way too early to like dive into what everyone in the league is doing. Like, Washington's a top 10 offense right now based on two games. You know what I'm saying? You've watched it. Are they a top 10 offense?
No.
I don't think so.
But to me, it's worthwhile when we talk about context, where it's like when we talk about Jaden Daniels, if he's been good, bad, indifferent, whatever you want to call it. Well, let's see what everyone else is doing at this point. What our offense is doing at this point, where passing totals are lower than they've been in a handful of seasons, half through 2 weeks. Is that going to stay the same? We don't know. But all we have is the sample that we have.
Yeah, the information helps. I mean, it's contextual. I just think it's too early to even for like big thoughts on that. But certainly in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, I'll certainly be more interested in seeing like what is the trend in the league. But yeah, right now through eight quarters, here's what we got. We can use all the intel we can get. But Washington defensively, to your point, is 29th in yards per play. San Francisco, theoretically a really good defense, is below them. You mentioned the Rams. I don't know. I mean, Is the Niners defense bad? I bet you it's just that they had a couple of bad matchups or something that didn't go their way. I just know that it's too easy right now for quarterbacks, mm-hmm. for playmakers. Where is the pass rush against Daniel Jones? That should be a feeding frenzy. He comes into that game without confidence, worried about being benched. If you can force him into an early bad decision, the boo birds of the Giants fans that are there with your own boos are coming out. He's in his own head. Dable's now calling things differently. They couldn't do it. Same as like not taking advantage when Graham Gano got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Your kicker, and by the way, that was malpractice. We've not talked about this, but I'll bet you Dable's getting destroyed in New York today. Do you know the Gano situation at all and how that played out?
No, I mean, just that he got hurt on the opening kickoff.
Right, but did you hear the backstory there?
No.
Oh, it's crazy. Graham Gano got hurt on Saturday at practice, pulled his groin, okay? He was added to the injury report, was listed questionable, had to test it out before the game time decision. Then before the game, supposedly, he felt something and they had to go back into the locker room and basically rewrap his groin because he was in pain. They have another kicker that they could have elevated to play in the game, and they chose not to. They actually played a man short. So not only was that crazy, but then you made the decision not to on Saturday night or whatever. Fine. On Sunday, he works out, and they could have had the punter handle the kickoffs. Like, he's done it and is capable of it. And they said, we'll have Gano handle the kickoffs. So while he's chasing down Eckler on the opening kickoff, he pulls his groin. And that's the kind of stuff that, when you're an embattled coach, ends up being thrown into the pile.
Because it's so controllable.
Like,
that's embarrassing.
You can't do this. This could get you fired stuff. Mm. So they were skewering Daboll after the game about that. But anyway, getting back to the point at hand, I guess for me, defensively, in the same way that you couldn't take advantage of them not having a kicker by just forcing third down stops and making them make decisions that aren't ideal on fourth down, they never got them to that point. I just need you to play the run and make Daniel Jones beat you. And they just opted not to. I don't know what the plan was or why they didn't. It's not like they were putting extra bodies on neighbors, but that is a stack the box, Singletary's not beating me, Daniel Jones has to. It's exactly what Minnesota did. And the Giants couldn't move the ball and looked like crap. And Washington, that didn't seem like their plan.
No.
Or if it was, they executed it very, very poorly.
Yeah. There's two glaring weaknesses here. And there's only so much you can scheme up with that in this day and age. I think the defensive ends, or whoever's going to be bringing pressure away from the interior, is not really capable of winning one-on-one. And every defense that's good, with the occasional exception, like I don't know how many stars Tennessee has through two games, their defense has been outstanding. But for the most part, you're going to have a guy where if he's alone, if he's one-on-one, that dude's going to win and disrupt the play. Right? Like that is almost like the industry standard. They don't have that at this stage. So it's pretty easy to deal with them. Right? If you have enough traffic up front so that Payne or John Allen can't win, or you roll people out, or enough play action, or enough things that kind of divert attention away from them, you're not afraid of Fowler or Farrell or Jamin Davis if he's ever active again, or Baptiste or any of these other guys. And then you combine that with cornerbacks that quite simply are not good enough to cover some of the great receivers that they're going to be playing against on a semi-weekly basis. There's your recipe right there. If you can't cover, at least you can't get home. And that's kind of where it seems to me.
I just don't excuse the early defensive performance the same way I will offense, where I've got a new coordinator with a rookie quarterback trying to figure this thing out together. And it's really, really hard to play quarterback in this league. And it's even harder when you're a kid. See Caleb Williams last night. See what Bo Nix has done through two games, right? Jaden Daniels, eight quarters in, has been the best of those three pretty decidedly,
yep.
I would say. Decisively better than those other two. I'm not saying defense isn't easy, or that Joe Witt has just some walk in the park yawning to figure out all the answers, but they handpicked most of the guys playing on this defense. I talked about this last week, but even to a greater extent because Forbes was out and Michael Davis was in this week. They give us these flip cards, right? And basically, as you're watching the game, it gives you your roster with all the information, height, weight, college you went to, all that stuff. And on the flip card, the starting 11 that was listed with Davis in for Forbes, 8 of the 11 were new. Chosen by Dan Quinn and Joe Witt, theoretically. I'm not saying it's the guys they would choose with unlimited funds, although
right.
They pretty much had unlimited funds. But the guys they chose this offseason, 8 of the 11 starters on the flip card yesterday, new, their choice. The guys they said these are fits for our system. These are Commanders, tag players, whatever they want to call it. These are guys that do it our way. They're going to arrive violently. 8 of 11 of the other three, Allen and Payne, Pro Bowlers, were two. So you can't tell me like, oh, you guys left us with these terrible players. The only starter on that flip card of the 11 players yesterday that was a holdover from the previous regime was Benjamin St. Juste, who, by the way, I would make the case had the most impactful game of anybody on the defense yesterday with the one takeaway and three pass breakups. I thought he was actually really, really good. But my point is, it's not that good of an excuse to say, oh, well, Rivera, the personnel's terrible. What? 8 of 11, man. 10 of 11 are Pro Bowlers or your guys. I'm not asking them to be top five. I'm not asking them to take games over and dominate. You can't be one of the worst in the league, which through two games, they have been.
That's always my stance.
It's
yeah.
not a big ask.
No, it's not. Some improvement should be expected.
Also, I put too much on how good Quinn is as a defensive coach. And same with Joe Witt, who I think really highly of. Like when Ron Rivera came in, he's defensive minded, but I didn't think scheming X's and O's, and I've never been like a huge fan of his. He's a leader of men type. Jack Del Rio, though, I thought could get it right. But like when you have a head coach and a coordinator, those types of guys, Danny, maybe it's not fair. I just expect that you can figure something out. You're a defensive minded head coach and your coordinator in Joe Witt is a rock star in your building. It's not like you've got like some dude who was in college at UTEP last year, who's in his first year as a coordinator, or Joe Barry or something, who only coordinated the Lions when they went 0 for the world. I just expected a lot more on that side of the ball, reasonably.
Yeah. To me, the idea that this would be an actual good defense, I didn't see that, but improve from the bottom, right? How much, I think, was a great variable. Did they get to 21st? Did they get to 18th? that was kind of a reasonable expectation, I think, that folks had without some elite players here and there. They upgrade, at least in their mind. They went and got the Luvus, the Bobby Wagners on short-term deals to sort of buoy that talent level. But I didn't see, like, okay, when Pittsburgh's got T.J. Watt, that's the best defense in the sport.
But they're not this bad, right? I mean, they're playing at this level. This is not what they are, right?
I don't know. I certainly hoped not. I don't have a ton of confidence that the 20th-ranked defense is in that room right now, and they're just going to figure it out within the next few weeks.
I could see fixing a lot of things with coaching. I don't know how you fix your corner problem. Remember, Peters was on with us right before the season, and the one position we kind of picked at with him was corner. Brought it up point blank. Like, what am I wrong about? How is this good enough? Corner, Noah Igbinoghene, who's a nickel corner playing on the outside, is going to start, who was listed as the fourth outside corner at the start of training camp. It's week three, and you're going up against Ja'Marr Chase.
Mm-hmm.
So if Zach Taylor wants to, he can move him around and get him on Igbinoghene throughout the game. Now, I don't know how much better it is to have St. Juste on him. I would say better because I like St. Juste more. But my point is, that's not a scheme problem. That's not a Dan Quinn problem.
It's Billy's and Joe's.
Yeah. What are you supposed to do there? Let's open up the phones. 800-636-1067. What's the fix for this defense, and do you think they are better than they're playing? MGM National Harbor listener lines open on Grant and Danny. We got Jay Gruden on the show at 5. Speaking of Dan Quinn, you'll hear what he had to say to reporters today, the best of his press conference at 6 here on The Fan. Jay Gruden at 5 in 13 minutes. Dan Quinn in an hour and 15 minutes, right at 6. His press conference from earlier today, the best of what he had to say for reporters after watching the film. His team's 1-1. He just got his first victory with the Commanders. Josh Harris yesterday gave him a game ball and gave out a game ball to Adam Peters for his first win as a GM. As well. Thought that was cool for Harris.
That is neat.
To jump in there and get everybody's attention and pass those out.
Those kinds of things we, outside looking in, sort of take for granted. But in their professional lives, which can be really, really fleeting, and you could be thought of as a genius, and then you could be out of a gig. See Mike Vrabel. See, you know, Arthur Smith. Or, I mean, I know he's an OC, but you know what I mean? Like, you could be a guy that everybody thinks is the next hotshot, the next superstar, and not have it go very well, right? So it's cool to celebrate those kind of milestones when they happen.
Dan Quinn has been waiting for this opportunity as a head coach since getting fired 5 games into 2020. And a lot of guys don't get a second shot. We're talking to Jay Gruden at 5. You know, he came here, had some success offensively. The team, frankly, had decent success compared to his predecessors, and he'll never get another shot, it doesn't look like, in the league again. Sometimes you don't get that next opportunity. DQ did, and so far, he's batting .500 with a 1-1 record. But for Peters, who's been working his whole career to become a GM, yesterday was a really, really big deal. We're talking about Washington's defense, which has been very porous to this point. They allowed 9 scoring drives in their first 11 series on the field this season, including 6 touchdowns. They rank in the bottom 5 in the NFL in almost every category. I don't know how you're going to fix the secondary. We talked about that.
Yep.
And I'm not sure where the pass rush is going to come from if Allen and Payne don't start getting to the quarterback a little more.
Yeah, to me, it's about designing something for them. I don't know what that means.
Where is that? Like, didn't you think there would be creativity? Remember how much we heard about Frankie Louvu can do this and that? I watched him in Carolina at the end of last year. Mm-hmm. He's lining up on one play as a defensive end, on one play as a Mike linebacker, on one play he's standing up over top of the center in the A-gap. Like, he's all over the place. Where is that creativity? Jeremy Chin's a Swiss Army knife. He could do this, that, this, this. He's just kind of lining up in the same spot and playing. I have been strangely
underwhelmed
for sure, but it's been peculiar how little creativity there's been.
So it's one of those things where the trend in the league is to play a certain way. Washington's doing that, and they're doing the worst version of that of anybody. You follow me? The whole goal is to not give up big plays. Like, that's what defense in the league is now, right? It was based on a couple years ago where the best way to stop Pat Mahomes is to frustrate him by making him check it down 40 times so he can't hit you with a dagger. Well, now everybody's doing that to everybody. It's that Mike McDonald defense that has taken the league by storm, and now everybody wants you to keep you in front. So you're playing vanilla, you're playing base, you're playing, you know, to keep everything in front of you. Well, you're doing worse at that than everybody else.
Yeah.
So I would zig. The old school playing Madden, like 95, where you just do punt rush on first down, you know, like the quarterback couldn't get the snap off. I mean, I'm kidding, but like, if I'm going to go down, it's not going to be playing passive.
But to me, you can do that safety net against Mahomes plan. McDonald's scheme works so well. What made him famous is how it works against Shanahan's scheme. It looks like early returns are pretty good, but there's nothing vanilla about it. It's aggressive. It's creative on the back end. It's misleading and can fool you, right? I mean, I don't see any of that from Washington.
Yeah. People don't look fooled.
I wouldn't use any of those words. Let's go to Peter in Wilmington, listening on the Odyssey app in North Carolina. What's up, Peter?
Hey, guys. Good show. Listen, you know, the defense is not great. We know that. But in this particular game, they kept the Giants from scoring the two extra points three times, which probably changed the game. And also, they only let the Giants score 18 points, which isn't too bad. And another thing is that you got to remember, this is a team just starting over. Two games, they don't even know each other's names hardly, let alone just making some specialty defense. That's just not going to happen right now. And I think they'll get better. And, you know, another thing, that beating the Giants is a big deal. The Baltimore beating the Chiefs. You know what I mean? It's like impossible. We haven't beaten the Giants.
We don't do it much.
No. And the thing about it is, I've been watching this team for 50 years. I'm an old man. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can check it out. It'll take a little while. But when we beat the Giants even once, we have a pretty good year. When we don't beat the Giants, we have lousy years. You can check it out. It's just one of those weird things about the
metric.
Giants.
How close to Pittsburgh are you from, Peter?
Pardon me?
How close to Pittsburgh are you from?
Well, I was born in Pittsburgh, but I grew up in D.C.
I got a superpower.
You got the yins detector.
I can hear a yins in there. I appreciate the call. Thank you, buddy. I agree with you that it is early, and it's why I'm not angry yet. Mm-hmm. I am just disappointed so far. I am not throwing anything. I'm just saying I'm underwhelmed. I am surprised. I gave a lot of credit to this defensive staff. The coaches are all better than the last group. They're going to get more out of these guys that were holdovers. The guys they chose are going to be really good fits. And so far, the results just aren't very good, period. And I don't, the idea of, well, they're learning each other's names. No, they're not. They've been together since February and March.
Yeah, right? are they as cohesive as they will be in 6 months? Probably not.
Right, but they've been training since April, May. Yeah. You know, Cousins had a quote the other day when someone talked about him not playing in the preseason when his new offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, said they had 2,000 offensive reps as a first-team offense or something like that. Like, they have had enough time on the grass that they should be able to do pretty basic things against a mediocre Giants offense.
And so my only retort to that is, this isn't a bunch of kids. They went and got veterans for this express written purpose to be better early. If this was a bunch of 23-year-olds that had ascended or were recent draft picks, et cetera, like, if there was a bunch of Emmanuel Forbeses here, that would have made more sense to me, but they went and got Wagner. Their core is veteran guys.
Jay Gruden at the top of the hour, Dan Quinn in 1 hour, Grant and Danny on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.